Trees have stories to tell. We all learn when we're kids that reading tree rings shows us how old that tree is. But our next guest says they can tell us so much more than that. Valerie Truet studies dendrochronology in the University of Arizona's Laboratory of Tree Ring Research, which means she reads tree rings to date events and study how things like climate have changed over hundreds of years. In her new book, Tree Story, The History of the World Written in Rings, she tells her own story as a scientist in what she says is an adventurous field that's brought her all over the world to uncover things like the locations of drowned pirate treasure or the role of olives in the fall of Rome. I spoke with her more about the book and how beautiful looking at a piece of wood can be under a microscope.
We can look at the rings not only in living trees, but also in dead trees and in anything that's made out of wood, really. So we're talking about historical buildings, doors, musical instruments, for instance. I started the book with the story of how one of the famous violins of Stradivari, the Messiah, has been tree ring dated and how the origin of that was controversial, but then the controversy was settled through dendrochronology. Also, like paintings that were painted on oak panels or shipwrecks, for instance. So all of that material, anything that's made out of wood and that has enough rings in it can be dated using dendrochronology.
This, I know, has many implications in terms of climate change then, right? Give us a sense of how this ties in and what you're able to deduct from looking at tree rings.
What we know is that how much a tree grows in a year depends on what the climate is like in that year. So if it's a good year for a tree, it's a wet year, or if it's a nice and warm summer, then the tree will grow a lot and it will grow a wide tree ring. On the other hand, if it's a bad year for a tree, if it's really dry or if it's cold, then the tree will not grow a lot and it'll form a narrow ring. So by looking at the wide and narrow rings in a tree, you can look at what the climate was like in each year. And if you have old trees that are 500, 1,000, or even up to 5,000 years old, their tree ring record gives us information of what the climate was like in each of the years that those trees lived. So, for instance, we did a study of trees in California in the Central Valley, blue oaks in the Central Valley in California, that are really super sensitive to how much rainfall the Central Valley gets in winter, and we use that information to look at how much snow falls in the Sierra Nevada every year. So we were able to reconstruct the snowpack of the Sierra Nevada over the last 500 years using tree ring data from those blue oaks. And what we found is that the year 2015, which was in the midst of the 2012-2016 California drought, that year, 2015, the snowpack was the lowest it had ever been over the last 500 years.
Wow.
So from instrumental data, we knew that the 2015 snowpack was the lowest over the last 80 years. But with our tree ring data, we now found out that it wasn't just an 80-year low, but that it was a 500-year low. So that's how we can put current climate conditions in a long-term perspective by using tree ring data.
I know in the book you also trace your own journey as a woman in science, right? How did you kind of find this field of study? It feels like a niche kind of thing to become a specialist in.
Yes. Yes, I think you're right there. For me, as like for most of my colleagues, I think it was serendipitous. So I did all of my education in Belgium. I'm from Belgium originally. And I have a degree in environmental engineering. And for my master's thesis, I was looking for a topic, and I really wanted to go abroad. I wanted some adventure, so I wanted a topic that would bring me abroad. And there was one topic that was listed that was about tree ring research in Tanzania. And up until that point, I'd never heard of tree ring research. But I really wanted to go to Tanzania. So I signed up, me and one of my fellow students. We went down to Tanzania for a couple of months, collected tree ring samples, came back. And then when I started looking at the wood that we had collected in Tanzania under a microscope, that's when I really got hooked. That's when I just, it's really beautiful to look at wood under a microscope. And then really what you're doing when you're doing dendrochronology is pattern matching. So you're trying to match the patterns in the tree rings that you see between different trees and then between different sites. And really it's kind of like making a puzzle. You're spending your days in the lab looking at this beautiful wood and trying to put together a puzzle, and I got hooked.
It doesn't seem like the thing that would bring you all over the world, but it really has, and I know you kind of trace those stories in the book. Give us, you know, one of your favorites, one of your favorite trips you've been on, or one of your favorite stories that you've uncovered through it.
Yeah, so I think as I mentioned, I got all of my education in Belgium, and then right after I finished my doctoral degree in Belgium, I moved to the US. I moved to Pennsylvania for a postdoc position, and that project involved field work in the Sierra Nevada in California. And so right out of Belgium, I mean, I don't know if you've been to Belgium, but it's a very densely populated country. Yeah. I used to live in Brussels, which is a metropole, and there's very little nature, right? So I moved to the US. Within months, I get dropped to do field work on my own in the Sierra Nevada in California. Mm-hmm. And that's where I really, for the first time, captured the idea of wilderness and of what it is that we're, you know, trying to protect here.
Yeah.
I mean, there's one story that actually is not in the book. I just started my fieldwork in the Sierra Nevada. I had no idea that there were mountain lions and bears in the Sierra Nevada. There are no mountain lions or bears in Belgium. And so people had warned me about mountain lions and bears and what to do when you encountered one, what to do when you encountered another, but I had not really been paying close attention. But then at some point I had parked my car, my rental car, by the side of the road and wandered off into the forest to look for suitable trees for my research. And I was on my own, and I hear this big roar not far away from where I'm at. And I just panicked because I didn't know whether it was a mountain lion or a bear. So at first I made myself really big in the middle of the forest, and I realized, no, wait, that's not what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to run. So I ran again, and then I made myself really big, and luckily there was no one to witness what I was doing, because it was to look ridiculous. And there was I got back to my car without problem and drove off. But it's different in Sierra Nevada from Belgium, I can say that.
Most definitely. So as you're writing this book and trying to basically just tell people what it is that you can learn from wood, from trees, from tree rings, from this study, what is it that you want people to take away from this? I mean, obviously there are climate change implications here and much we can learn from that. Where do you hope this research goes?
Well, mostly my intention for this book was to convey a sense of excitement about science and the things we can discover through science, the stories we can tell. We are at a very exciting point in time, scientifically speaking, because we have a lot of data to build on. We have a lot of computer power to do analysis, and we're discovering a lot at a very fast pace. So it's a very exciting time to be a scientist. And I feel like sometimes the field of science in general is not perceived as exciting or as adventurous as it should be.
Yeah. As a woman in this field, are you directing this at all toward young girls who you'd like to see in the field as well?
Definitely. Yeah. There is nothing that a man can do that we can't do, scientifically speaking.
All right. That is Valerie Truet, Associate Professor and Distinguished Scholar in the University of Arizona's Laboratory of Tree Ring Research, and author of the new book, Tree Story, The History of the World Written in Rings. Valerie, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Lauren.